Praise the Lord.
Be worth every struggle, be worth every mile. Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians, chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Ephesians, chapter number 3. We're going to read once again this prayer of Paul, and then be reminded of what Paul has to say in the closing verses of this chapter. Begin verse number 13. Paul says, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I love the Bible, don't you? I love what the Bible has to say. If you notice, he says, "Unto him be glory in the church." And we've preached now for several weeks on "Unto him be glory in the church." And we've talked about a church that preaches. That's a church that brings glory to the Lord. We've talked about a church that prays. That's a church that brings glory to the Lord. We've talked about a church with a purpose. That's a church that brings glory to the Lord. And we've talked about a church that praises the Lord. Dear friends, I believe all these things are important. Tonight I want to preach about a church that pleases the Lord. So let's pray together and ask God to help us, would you? Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for this time. We thank you for your precious word. And tonight I pray that it would make an impact in our lives in such a way that Lord, we would understand how important it is for us to be pleasing to you. Lord, as individuals, as a body, Lord, that if you're going to get glory in this place, we must be pleasing unto thee. Help me as I stand to stand in faith, to be guided by the Spirit of God. I need the power of the Spirit, Lord, tonight. And Lord, for all that's accomplished, we'll give you the glory. Help us, O Lord. We trust thee, and we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Unto him be glory in the church. And certainly, as we've looked these last several weeks at these different areas of ways that he can gain the glory or have the glory, I think all of them are very important. But I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture in this great chapter of faith. We've heard it called many different things, the Hall of Fame of Faith or the Hall of Faith. You could go and you could study each of the individuals that are listed here, and you're going to find great men and women of faith, people from all walks of life. There's no doubt that these people were pleasing to the Lord, because what the Bible teaches us about pleasing Him, we know that these people please God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, notice what it says. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Tonight, if we're going to be a church that brings glory to the Lord, we must be a church that pleases the Lord. Now, I want you to know the Bible teaches us that God is not pleased when there is no faith. So I want to give you three thoughts very quickly tonight, more devotion, if you will, about a church that pleases the Lord. First of all, I want you to see that it is impossible to please the Lord without faith. It is impossible to please Him without faith, because the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Well, that's exactly what it means. You know what I love about the Bible? There's no gray issues there. It's all black and white. When we take the Bible, we can take it at face value. Somebody's asked me, do you take the Word of God literally? I absolutely do. This is the Word of God. It is the infallible, the inerrant Word of God. It's inspired of God. It's given to us by God. It is the God-breathed book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here's what the Bible says. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, what is faith? We've got to come to that determination. We have a description of faith given to us in chapter 11, verse number 1, don't we? Where the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we begin to understand that there's a description here of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is something that you believe. Faith is looking for something that's not really there, but you know it can be there. But the definition of faith is chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. See, you're either looking to self or looking unto Jesus. Looking to self is pride. Looking to Christ is faith. The opposite of faith is pride. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Because the opposite of faith is when we look unto self, or we look by sight. We see by sight. But the Bible teaches us that we're to walk by faith. Doesn't the Bible say the just shall live by sight? Oh, no, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. Now, y'all either get with me or we're going to be here for hours tonight. Faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Now, the Bible says, but without what? Faith. It is impossible to please Him. So, those that are saved, if we're going to please Him, we must live by faith. The Bible teaches us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible shows us that faith is looking unto Jesus. Tonight, we need to understand that if we are not looking unto Jesus, if we are not putting our faith in Him, if we are not trusting Him, we are not pleasing God. And God is not going to get the glory in our church. See, we have to understand that we are to be a church of faith. We're to put our faith in God. And when we put our faith in God, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The problem with most churches is we live by sight and not by faith. We don't launch out because we can't see it. But God doesn't tell us to go after what we can see. God teaches us to go after what we can't see. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I want you to see not only that it's impossible without faith to please the Lord, I want you to see, secondly, the imperativeness of faith. The imperativeness of faith. Imperative means to be, it's absolutely necessary. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Then I want you to see the second thing. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. It is absolutely necessary. If you're going to be saved tonight, you must believe that He is who the Bible says He is. See, I don't have a problem with what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God. I believe that. I believe that he was before the world ever began, because he already existed when the beginning of this world as we know it started. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, I just believe that. And I'm telling you, I'm convinced tonight, according to the Word of God, you must believe that. It's a must. It's imperative. It is imperative tonight. The imperativeness of faith is that you must believe these things. You must believe that He is. This is talking about faith in Christ as Savior. You see, there's a lot of people that have put their faith in a church. They have put their faith in a denomination. They have put their faith in some kind of an event, some kind of a vision. You wouldn't believe some of the stories you hear when you witness to people, unless you've really witnessed to a lot of people. You know, you think about this. If you're knocking on doors, you know, you talk to somebody and say, well, I'm from East Lyle Avenue Baptist Church, and we'd like to invite you to come to our church. And inevitably, they'll say, oh, yeah, me and him's all right. Me and the man upstairs. Now, first of all, don't use that terminology around me or you'll get a message, probably. You know? And a lot of times they'll say, well, me and the Lord, we're all right. That sounds good, doesn't it? And I'll say, really, that's great. And then I'll say something like this. Well, tell me about your relationship with the Lord. Oh, yeah, when I was little, my mom and dad took me to church every week. That's wonderful. That's good. Mommy and daddy took you to church. That's great. But tell me about your relationship with the Lord. Well, you know, when I was 8 years old, I got baptized. Well, that's interesting. I don't tell them that's good because it wasn't. Baptism is not biblical unless it's after salvation. And so I'll say, well, that's interesting, but tell me about your relationship with the Lord. Well, I go to such and such church. Well, you know, it's commendable to be in church. But tell me about your relationship with the Lord. And they look at you like, that's what I'm doing. I said, no, you're talking about religion. You see, what we have to understand tonight is we must believe that He is. He is. Tonight, what we must understand is that it's all about God. It all begins with God. And tonight, if we're going to be a church that pleases Him, we must be sure that it is God that is lifted up and that people are pointed to the cross of Calvary and to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they must believe that He is. It's imperative. People come want to join this church. I ask them, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because they must believe that He is. Look, anybody can walk through the doors of that church. Anybody can sit on a church pew. Anybody can do any of these things. But you can't become a member of this church unless you can give me a testimony that you have, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe that He is. Oh, we need that tonight, don't we? I see churches are filling their membership roles. Now, people can join the Sunday school class. That's not joining the church. But churches are filling their membership roles with people that know not Christ. And I want to tell you what that church is. That church is displeasing to the Lord, because they're not teaching the people you must believe that He is. That's the imperativeness of faith. It is necessary, dear friend, that to believe that He is if we're going to be pleasing to the Lord. I understand tonight wanting to get people in, but I do not understand tonight trying to let people go to hell off of a church pew. I don't believe in it. We must tell the world about sin and what sin will do, and the only remedy for sin is faith in Him. He is. This church can't save you. This preacher cannot save you. Your mommy and daddy cannot save you. Being baptized cannot save you. Being good cannot save you. But He can save you. He can wash away your sins. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He can take you out of hell and promise you a home in heaven. Only Him. If we're going to please the Lord, we've got to be a church that's all about Him, who He is, and what He's done, and what He's going to do. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight to emphasize Him. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men and myself. I watch religious programming sometimes for two or three reasons. One, to have ammunition. Two, to get my blood boiling. Because I'm a really laid-back kind of guy. It's just my personality. I'm laid-back, you know. I don't get too upset, but every now and then I just like to get it going. But number three, just to get an understanding of what draws people. And what I see most of the time is men drawing people to them. Or women. Whatever the case may be. And I see them lifting themselves up and talking about their church and all that they're doing. But I want you to know it's not about East Slavany Baptist Church. It's not about Joe Shelton. It's not about you. It's about Him. We must believe that He is. We must emphasize who He is. There's a lot of people that know about Him, but they don't know Him. If we're going to please the Lord, we've got to be there. It's impossible without faith to please the Lord. The imperativeness of faith has to be there. The necessity of it has to be there if we're going to please the Lord. But then the importance of faith. I want you to see that tonight, and we'll be done. The Bible says in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. I like that word must. I've got it circled in my Bible. You know, you ought to circle that in your Bible. If you're in the habit of marking things, that's what I do. I mark certain things. Must. That's a good word, isn't it? I like what the Bible says in John chapter 3. You must be born again. He doesn't say, you know, there's a possibility that you should think about it. He said you must be born again. The Bible says right here, without faith. But without faith is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And then thirdly it says, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe this is talking about after we're saved. I think we have every part of our life in this verse. Pleasing the Lord. Without faith it's impossible. When we come to God, we must believe that He is. That's our salvation. But then our services depend on, we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what he's saying here? Is if we believe He's big enough to save us, if we believe that He's big enough to pull us out of the very miry clay and the fiery pit of hell and promise us a home in heaven, surely He's able to take care of us on the journey. He's able to help us through the storms of life and through the fiery trials and when the fiery darts are being thrown at us and Satan is attacking us, He is able. Now unto Him be glory in the church because He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. What we need this day is to be a church that believes that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's some key words here. Now, first of all, we need to place emphasis where God places the emphasis, and the word here is diligently seek Him. You see that? It doesn't say He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. It says diligently seek Him. When we diligently seek the Lord, God rewards. See, it's not about your will or my will. It's about God's will for our life. We have got to walk in God's will. We have got to get to the place in our life where it's not my will, but Thy will be done. And that's exactly what this is talking about. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, you know what most Christians do? They go through life planning their life, planning their days without seeking God. But if we're going to be a church that pleases the Lord, we've got to be looking to Him. Looking unto Jesus. The author, He started it. And the finisher, He'll finish it. Of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what it says? He started it, He finished it, but right now, in the meantime, dear friends, He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Why is He there? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, He ever liveth to make intercession. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I like our Lord, don't you? I love our Lord tonight. He's a wonderful Savior. The importance of faith is this. You're not going to go any further than what your faith in God is. And this church won't go any further than where we place our faith. You look around sometimes and you see all these different things. Look here. We've got to teach Christ by faith. We've got to preach the cross by faith. We've got to reach the crowds by faith. Teach, preach, reach by faith. If I do it in the energy of the flesh, or we're doing it in the energy of the flesh, you know what it's going to amount to? It's going to amount to what flesh can do. But when we get in the faith of God, and we put our faith in Him, and we trust in Him, and we get up and we teach a lesson, we get up and we preach a sermon, we go out and we're reaching the crowd, we're telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're doing it by faith in Him, then we can get what God can do. And tonight, I don't want to be a church that can do what I can do, or what you can do. I want to be a church that accomplishes what God can do. You know what God can do? He can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, all that I ask or think. That's the God that I'm talking about tonight. And we've got to get into the life of faith. We're desperately in need of a church that believes that God is who He says He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's important, isn't it? Do you see the need of it tonight? There's no reward when we walk by sight. You know what your reward is? What you see. If I see it, it's basically mine to get, right? Pretty much. And I want to tell you, what I see is not much. It doesn't extend me too far. We need to walk by faith. We need to step out by faith. We must launch out individually, corporately as a church. Launch out. You say, how do we do it, preacher? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. May the Lord help us tonight. Do you realize God's got great and mighty things out there for us? I sure enjoyed hearing Brother Smith preach on the great and mighty things out of Jeremiah 33:3. I love what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what He's talking about? Living by faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I believe some of these songwriters knew what they were writing about because I believe they had their eyes on the Lord. Look, we're finishing 2007. We're getting ready to embark on 2008. And the only way we're going to please God is to live by faith. And I can prove it to you. Because without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please Him. You think we can step out by faith? We must. It's imperative. We must put our faith in Him as our Savior. If you've never done that, this is the greatest night of your life, because tonight you can get it settled once and for all. Heaven's going to be your home. So, preacher, I'm saved. Well, if you can trust Him for your soul, don't you think you can trust Him with your life? He's a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Here's my problem. I seek Him. Sometimes vaguely. Sometimes according to my own will. Sometimes just because I think it's the right thing to do. But there's no diligence in that. If our church is going to accomplish anything, we must diligently seek Him. And when we diligently seek Him, He says, He promises, He says, He rewards them. Let's diligently seek the Lord. Let's quit playing games. Let's quit fiddling around with it all. Let's step out on faith with our eyes on the Lord. Not foolish things, but our eyes on Jesus, and see what God can do. I'm tired of what I can do. I look around, I see a lot of things haven't been accomplished. They'll be accomplished because of what I can do. I'm ready to see what the Lord can do. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your precious word. I thank You, Lord, for how it can convince us and convict us, how it can guide us and direct us, how it can bring joy to us and sorrow. It's so precious. Lord, may we find our place in Thy Word every day as we diligently seek You. Because, Lord, we know You're found in Your Word. Lord, may we hide it in our heart. We might not sin against Thee. And may we sing it and shout it to the world, that others may see Thee in us. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing to You. And we know that it has to be living by faith. Thank You for that. Thank You for showing us that. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed,